Okay. Ready to begin. Okay, good morning. The fundamental principle on which this session is based on is that our most crucial interactions with our spouses, ultimately, and our children, ultimately, are really paradigmatic of our relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, all of our experiences basically are reflective of two spheres. One being the sphere between Bein Adam L'Makom, the other being Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, and the main interaction, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, really the most crucial interaction, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, is really one with our spouse and ultimately with our children. Rashi in Shir HaShirim, very unbelievable Rashi, Shir HaShirim, Perek Dalet, the Pasuk says, Shnei Shadayach Kishnei Afarim Te'omeit Tviya Haroim Bashoshanim. Rashi explains there that the Aseret HaDibrot are actually two separate spheres that are parallel with each other. Two, Shnei Luchot, are five in each, and they each, the first Luach, which is generally the mitzvah's Ben on the Makom, although Kibud Av V'Em is, it's not Ben on the Makom. We don't have time to go through that right now. And Ben on the Chaver, the second Luach, they correspond one with the other. The number one parallels number six, two, seven, etc. I refer you to Rabbi Foreman, Rabbi David Foreman, who has developed this idea very beautifully. You can catch it on YU Torah. But there are two spheres working hand in hand, very much parallel to each other, and there's a common theme that you have in those first two mitzvos of each luach, and it's the common theme that corresponds to two different spheres. And really we can look at, and I'd like to discuss six different spiritual perspectives that really share a common theme in all these three areas, ourselves, our spouses, our children. And so each one of us in our own, whatever station of life we're at, can focus on developing those spiritual perspectives, which will serve us well in our next stations in life. I'd like to talk about, I hope we'll get through all six. The truth is, each one of these can be developed much further. But this is a start. Again, the idea is to start a conversation, to start a dialogue about these issues. And I'd like to also hopefully leave time for some questions at the end. Rav Shlomo Aviner is one of the most prolific writers of our times, published probably over 100 Sfarim. He has a sefer that he wrote many years ago, which probably has undergone a number of different reprintings, Bein Ish LeIshto. Quotes to Ramchal. Ramchal in the Sefer HaKlalim, who describes the process of searching and hopefully finding our soulmate. And he says that process is it's paradigmatic of our yearning to reattach ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramchal, based on the Zohar, explains as follows, that basically when the souls are created, before they're brought into this world, the souls, two parts to a soul, man is created with two parts to his soul. Man, I'm talking about existential man, not male, female. There's one soul that has two parts that are attached back to back. And then when those souls are sent into this world, they're sent into the world, one is sent to a male, in a male body, the second soul is sent to a female body. And eventually they're trying to find each other, to eventually reattach to each other. But this time, when they reattach to each other, it's in a face-to-face form. Okay, and there's an obvious allusion here to the most intimate act between husband and wife that is done face-to-face. Now, that process is exactly paradigmatic to our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're created, we're chelek, elokamimal, each one of us has a soul. a neshama tahora that is part of God, chelek alo kamimal, but it's attached to God, so to speak, kivayachol, right? Because we're giving physical terms where we really shouldn't, but it's attached to God before being born into this world in a back-to-back way. Back to God. We can't face God. We can't face God directly before we're created because it's shameful for us. It's a concept called Nahamed de Chasufa, which many of you are familiar with, the bread of shame. Before we're created into this world, we don't deserve existence. We did nothing to deserve existence. So the soul can't face its creator, its maker, in a face-to-face kind of way. It's back-to-back. And then the soul is brought into this world, sent into this world, and the idea of in this world is to earn real existence. Right? We're put into this world and we're given a task, we're given jobs, we're supposed to perform mitzvos, chasodim, we're supposed to learn Torah, we have a specific tafkid that's unique to each and every one of us, and once we accomplish those things, we then we can reattach ourselves to the Creator. But this time, panim el panim. This time, face to face. Because we have earned our existence. We didn't get anything for free. We can now face God. I exist. That's the tafkid that we have in this world. We want to exist. Many of the Rishonim write that if a person doesn't do as he's supposed to be, it's not that he's punished, so to speak. There's no, according to the Rambam, there's no Gehenim. It's just you cease to exist. It's like you never existed. The real existence is in the next world. Right? When we ultimately can reattach ourselves to God, to our Creator, but this time, face to face. So that search that we go through in our lives, when we're searching for our soulmate, so that's exactly the way we're supposed to be searching to reattach ourselves to God. Now, an extension of this idea is that God sort of created, when he sort of detached our souls from Him and made us independent, brought us into the world, and we are independent. We are ultimately Bali Bechira. We are people of choice. God gives us the choice to earn existence or not earn existence. We have to choose. We have a choice. We get to choose who we're going to marry. We're trying to find that the person who was the other part of our soul. We're trying to reattach ourselves to that. Ultimately, we want to reattach ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. We were attached sort of in a three-way sort of triangle. Again, I'm using physical terms for God. Please don't get caught up in that. But we're sort of attached a three-way, back-to-back, two parts of one soul which is attached also to God in a back-to-back way. And ultimately we want to emerge facing each other, all three facing each other. Kadosh Baruch Hu is a very important part of that reunion, obviously. Now, again, He creates us independent. We get to choose. We're Bali Bechira. The perhaps one of the most important definition of man is that he has the freedom to choose. And so when we bring another soul into the world, that couple found each other, and then they bring another soul into the world, ultimately we want that soul to be also independent. That child, we want to raise them independent, that they have a sense of independence, that they don't feel that they are forced to live their life a certain way or have to do something. There is room for telling a child what to do. Certainly in the early ages, between 0 and 5, they don't have their own real sense of self. They don't have das, we have to tell them what to do. But really, ultimately, we're trying to raise them to be independent, to be Bali Bechira, to make choices, hopefully the right choices. But we have to lay out those choices in front of them. We can try to stack those choices in His favor. We can try to, part of what Chinuch really is, we'll get into this a little bit later, is trying to show them the benefits of making the right choice. How wonderful it is to choose wisely and to choose the right choice. But ultimately, the choice has to be theirs. A parent can't dictate how a child is going to live his life. So that's spiritual perspective number one. And that being, just to sum up, that we are, our search, the process of searching for our soulmate is exactly paradigmatic to how we search for God. Ultimately, we're trying to reattach ourselves. Panim el panim. God created the world that we can earn existence, that we shouldn't have this nahamid de chasufa, this bread of shame, as it's called. And ultimately, when we bring children into the world, we want them to have that same freedom of choice that ultimately will earn their own existence. Right? A child did nothing to come to the world. Sometimes a child uses that, you know, as an argument to his parents. You know, the parent says to the child, "I want you to clean your room. You know, you must clean your room." It's I didn't ask to be born. He's right. He didn't ask to be born. It's true. It's true. But on the flip side is that here's your chance to earn existence. We brought you into the world, and now the world is there for you to earn your existence, that you do deserve to be born. Number two. We begin and end our day being mekabel ol malchus shamayim. We accept upon ourselves the yoke of heaven. We say kriyat shema in the morning and kriyat shema at night. Mishnayos and Shas begin really with the concept of being mekabel ol malchus shamayim. Concepts of the theme of malchus is very, very apparent in those first few Mishnayos. And ultimately, it's one of the most important things, if not the most important thing, that we do during the day. This past week's parsha, the parsha of yesterday, Parshas Chukas, is a very, very beautiful drasha that Rav Soloveitchik gave in the 70s, which has been recorded. You can probably hear it online. You can read it in various different forms. Where he discusses the idea of a chok. Right? Paraduma is the classic chok. And he talks about chok. He does also try to explain the mitzvah. Actually, what is the, not in terms of vis-a-vis what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind, so to speak. That's the chok part. We don't know why God commanded this particular mitzvah, but we can learn from the experience that man has in performing this mitzvah. What is the experience? What's the lessons we can learn from that mitzvah? But ultimately, what goes back to the fact that it's a chok. God commanded it. Whether we understand it, we appreciate it as much as we can, it's a command from God that we have to follow. Chok as opposed to mishpat. The Rav Soloveitchik, son-in-law of Aaron Lichtenstein, has often said, and it's also been written in various volumes, that the ultimate definition of man, we spoke about in the last point, we spoke about man being bali bechira, man of choice. His definition that he gives of Lichtenstein, Shlita, that the definition of man is a commanded being. We ultimately commanded being. The first words that God utters to man is, right, eat from all the other trees. Do not eat from the Eitz Hadas Tovara. We are ultimately, that's the definition. We are commanded beings. We have an ol. We have, it doesn't sound nice when we talk about a burden. But there is this yoke that we carry with us, this great responsibility of trying to fulfill God's will. And that's our main job in this world, is to carry that weighty responsibility of trying to fulfill the commandment that God has given us in this world. Now, when one gets married, so added to that, he now has what's called the Ol Isha.
And I say man, again, this is, goes both ways. The ol of an ish, ol of an isha, spouse, husband has the responsibility towards his wife, and the wife towards her husband.
Rav Volbi, and I really recommend to everybody here, Rav Volbi has a little pamphlet, Madrich Lechatanim, whether you are married, engaged, or on the way at some point. It's a very, very important little pamphlet he has. It's about 20 pages. Probably most farm stores carry it. So he really develops this idea, what he calls Ol Isha, which he quotes from Maimer Chazal. And that is that often we have a mistaken concept of what marriage is. Example I would give is, people, let's say, I'll use myself as an example. A little embarrassing, but when I, a certain concept that I had, I was at the time when I met my wife, I was learning yeshiva, and I was planning going to continue learning yeshiva. I did it the following, after we got married, we went right to Grus Kollel, some of you may have heard of that. Spent our first 2 years of marriage in the Grus Kollel, one of those apartments. My wife was studying Mechala. We got married in Rosh Chodesh Elul, so we went back to the Kollel from our Sheva Brachas. And I had this concept of marriage being this, wonderful opportunity to like open my home to, to yeshiva guys. Right? This is great. I'll have, someone who can do the cooking, can set the table and put everything out, and then I'll just have all these guys over and I'll be awesome. It's great. I'll make the children and this and how guys, that was like, I thought that was like part of the main things of, why you get married. And so our first Shabbos, right after Shavuot Brachos, first Shabbos, we come, first time that we're sort of together, alone, so to speak. Shavuot Brachos is family, and you're in your weekend away, and, catering. So now, first Shabbos, my wife's cooking the first Shabbos. So I said, okay, well, invited guests over, first Shabbos. One of them was my brother, and his friend who was in another yeshiva. And I was an idiot. Because you can't just start off like that. You have to give each other a chance to know what our strengths and weaknesses are in building in creating a Shabbos table. We didn't even know how to run a Shabbos table, ourselves. Who should make the chillin? Who should do this? Who's better at, It was, and my wife never let me forget it for 20 years. Never let me forget that Shabbos. And I was a fool. I was a fool in thinking that, okay, this is what it is. Like, this is like just to have guys over. That's it's foolish concept. That instead of seeing marriage as that I'm here for her. I'm here for her. What's in her best interest? To have guests that first Shabbos? No. Not as much as I'd like to. It's not in her best interest. And maybe, you need a few months just to happen with each other until you're ready to say, okay, we're ready to have guests. Let's just give an example. It's like another guy who was as foolish as I was, learning yeshiva, and he invites, comes home on a weekday night, surprises his wife. Maybe it was the days before cell phones. Surprise his wife. Hi, Ani, I'm home. I brought my charusa home for dinner. And she's like, oh, okay. Meet me in the kitchen. And they go to the kitchen. She goes, what'd you do? I don't have anything. I only made enough for the two of us. He goes, okay, don't worry. It'll be okay. I won't eat too much. He goes, okay, fine. But whatever you do, don't ask him if he wants any more. Don't ask him if he wants, doubles, whatever. This is fine, no problem. So they go outside, they go, into the dining room, they sit down, and the wife brings out
soup. And Chavrusa's name is Moshe. He goes, Moshe, how is the soup? Oh, the soup's excellent. And the husband says, would you like some more soup? And he's like, yeah, no. You sure? No, no thanks. He says, okay. Then brings out salad. Salad, how's the salad? It's great. Great, excellent. We'd like some more salad, the husband asks. And he's like, no. He's like, you sure? Sure, yeah. Oh, sure. Thank you. And so then, you know, they bring out the main dish. And finally, the husband, tall guy, sees fit to go inside into the kitchen to help. And his wife says, what are you doing? I told you, don't ask him, you know, for doubles. He goes, oh, gosh. You're right, I forgot. Why don't you say something? What do you mean? I've been kicking you under the table the whole time. the marriage is an all, in the sense that I have to acclimate myself to her needs. It's ultimately that's the first definition. Sure, there's a lot of wonderful, beautiful things about it, but ultimately is that. A lot of the things is almost goes against the nature of a ben yeshiva. Almost goes against the nature. The experience of living with a wife is almost against our nature, and we have to acclimate ourselves. For example, we have to take interest in things. Men and women are different ultimately. Obviously, there are exceptions here, but for example, women are care much more about the aesthetics of their home. Home is so important to a woman, and to my wife especially. Guys, you know, couldn't care necessarily. Some guys, I'm not saying for everybody, but you know, at some point when the piles of dirty socks reaches you know a point where you can't get into the room, maybe they'll clean it up. but women, it's a very important thing how the room looks. No one else is going to see it, just for herself. It's so important. What color to paint the walls in the living room? You know, she wants. It's very important to her, and she'll ask her husband, "What do you think?" I'm like, "What are they going? This is important. What are you bothering me about this? I don't care. Whatever you want. That's the last thing they want to hear. Whatever you want. They want you to take interest in them. They want you to take interest in what's important to them, and vice versa. You know, there's one thing that you can never, almost never win." Is when the wife asks the husband, so here are two outfits. Which one do you think I should wear tonight? You're cooked, man. You have no chance of getting out of this alive. Because you go, I like the black one. So you're saying this one is no good? I wore this last week and you didn't say anything to me. No, I didn't say it's not good. I happen to like this better. So this one, I wore it. So you don't like this one, right? What are you saying? So I'm like, I like it. Because what about the dress I wore last night? Oh yeah, you're finished now. What about the dress I wore last night? Did you like that one? And you're like, yeah, it was great. What did I realize? So you see, our job here, this obligation, is to know, is to take interest in those things that are important to them, and you'll find out pretty quickly what is important to each one of each the other person, and to take an interest, a real interest, not just to avoid, but really it becomes important to me because it's important to you. That's the all of marriage. And ultimately, the same, we have all Yeladim, we have all of children. They're, you know, totally different species, children. That what's important to them, we have, you know, if another child, not your own, has something's important to them, you have no conversation with them, you may not have any conversation with them, it's not, something you can even relate to sometimes. But when it's your own child, and something is very important to them, even though to you, you think it's frivolous, it's silly, it's a child's play, but our obligation is to find interest and that common goal of this is important to my child. It has to become important to me.
Even when it may be a little bit unnatural. Often it means that we have to be kovei itim, just like we kovei itim the Torah, we have to be kovei itim to spend time with our wives, and certainly spend time with our children.
Any good marriage advisor will tell you you have to have at least one day of the week, one night, the week where everything else gets shut down. Kids, work, smartphones, everything, and it's just the two of you. Whether you know, the longer you can do it, the better. Meaning longer how much time you give to it, but it has to be something you kovei itim. This is part of the requirements of showing how serious that I'm taking that responsibility. Certainly with our kids. Real time. Spending real time with our kids. Sometime during the week with each one. Each one a quality hour, half an hour, whatever you can afford.
That's number two. Okay, we have to move along quickly here. Number three.
And that is, the Vilna Gaon writes that the ikar tafkid of a person in this world is what's called shviras hamidos. One has to alter his personality in things that need fixing. Each one of us is created with a soul that is imperfect. And we have to try to strive for perfection.
Certain things that we have a natural tendency for, we have to try to break. Those things that a tendency is bad. And that's where our greatest struggles lie, in those areas. It requires the greatest amount of work. Things that come natural to us are natural. Things that are unnatural, they require our most attention. So here's a very, very unbelievable thing. Is that, and this, many people have written about this, have spoken about this.
One of the main speakers I mentioned earlier, that this conference is sort of modeled after a conference in Israel, an organization in Israel called Binyan Shalem. And it's one of the themes that they talk about a lot, is this idea of that when we're searching for our soulmate, and there are certain things we may even, you know, make our own little checklist of things that we're looking for, things that we're not looking for, we don't want. Often, those things that maybe even the most crucial things are hidden from us. Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. He hides some of the most crucial things, but dafka, what I don't want, this type of person, this type of mida, I often find that exactly the person that I choose to marry, I find that mida there. And that meat is often the opposite of our own. Because again, we are two parts of the same soul. We're called, as the Torah calls us, Ezer Kenegdo. We are a helpmate that is Kenegdo, that is opposite. And this is a simple definition of what that means, is that other part of our soul is the completion of us. Right? That line in the movie, "You complete me." It's true. It's true. Batman. We often marry the person who is the most unlike us in the most crucial areas, because the idea is that we have to be mitaken ourselves. Now one can say this must have been a mistake. You know, this is who I am, and you're just the opposite. Or one can look at it and say, this is exactly why this happened. And so I can involve myself and successfully, hopefully through this relationship, can conquer that particular mita.
That is the That's the ultimate goal. That's why we're born into this world, many of us.
And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite wisdom, some may call it a sense of humor, is that he actually matches us up with that person who's going to bring out the best in us. And maybe, look, at first glance, like, well, I don't know how it's going to work. And these things we only discover sort of at some point later on. That, wow, this is an area where there's a lot of tension, and it's dafka there. Dafka there where you have the greatest struggle that you have to overcome. And the same thing goes with our relationship with our kids. Stuff in the areas that maybe we need the most work on is where our kids sort of, that's where they, you know, pose the greatest challenge to us. The Shviras Amidos. How wonderful it would be if before we entered into marriage, we were able to overcome some of those things, maybe make changes. I had a very close friend of mine, Chabrusa, who had a very serious anger issues when he was, you know, when I first got to know him. He worked on himself relentlessly and felt that he had overcome it, and I was certainly felt he did as well. Unfortunately, he left this world at a very young age, and one of the people who were masked with him said, you know, he went through all the shots. He hadn't learned all the shots. But he did more than that. As the Rabbi Sol Salanta says, one who conquers the Midah is greater than one who learns all the shots. He conquered the Midah of Kaps. And he did it before he got married. His wife never saw it. It was an amazing accomplishment. So we can do it beforehand, before we enter into a relationship that we don't even have to have that attention. How much more so? But if we don't do it then, we're going to, believe me, we're going to have that, those opportunities to fix ourselves later on.
Okay, that's point number three. Try to get three more points in. And still have time for questions.
Man is basically split up into the three parts to ourselves. There is our actions, our thoughts, machshava, maase, machshava, and ratzon. All the Bali machshava talk about these three spheres. They have different languages for it. Bali Kabbalah gives different terms for it. But basically, we're made up of our thoughts, our actions, and our desires, our will, our ratzon. Ultimately, the way we really can define ourselves, who we really are, it's not our actions, it's not even our thoughts, it's our ratzon, it's our desires. When we daven, and we spoke about this in yeshiva numerous times, when we daven, ultimately when we daven, we're trying to give expression to our ratzon and trying to actually change our ratzon. The process of davening, we're supposed to undergo a certain change within ourselves. And what we're trying to do is ultimately change our ratzon from what Rav Soloveitchik calls a ratzon tachton, a lower desire, a lower will, and to raise it up to match the ratzon elyon. We each have higher desires that the Rambam talks about kofino sa'ad shalom erotzani, that we can force somebody to give a gift, even though he doesn't want to, and then we can force him, physically force him. Because ultimately, the ratzon elyon, his higher desire, is to do what's right, is to do what God demands of him. But often there's a great gap between our ratzon tachton and ratzon elyon. So what davening is supposed to do, the process of davening, and that's why we have to do it three times a day for a whole lifetime, because it takes a lifetime to be able to change your ratzon, is to take from our lower, baser desires, very selfish desires, and to raise it up to much loftier desires of to do the will of God and to help our fellow man and to think about all of the Jewish people. And you look at davening and sometimes you say, is that really what I want? Is that really what I want? For me, the most important thing is that the Yankees should stop their losing streak. Or you know, I should ace that final or get that internship that I've been dying for. That's really what I really want right now. So when I say Lishlayim Yerecha, it's not real. It's not really what I want. I'm saying because that's what the Siddur says. But ultimately, what we're trying to do is actually to make our will that which the Atrin Chazal, ultimately Kadosh Baruch Hu, has laid out, what his Ratzon is, we want our will to be that. That actually our greatest will is what's written in the Siddur. We're trying to work on ourselves to become that. And therefore, in the areas of Chinuch, really that is the most important area that we're trying to address. Is the area of Ratzon, as opposed to the areas of Machshava and Maaseh, which are important, but they're tofel, they're less important when you talk about in comparison to Ratzon. We want to get the child to want the right things. Rav Kook said the ultimate goal of Chinuch is that the child desires to do what is tov and yashar, good and honest, good and straight. That is what Chinuch needs to, that's the goal of Chinuch. Tov yashar. And that's his ratzon. Right? You can get a child to act a certain way, you know, through threat of punishment or promises of reward. You may even get him to think a certain way. But it doesn't mean that that's where he really is. And our goal is to get who he really is, to want the right things. So obviously it requires ourselves to want the right things, that our ratzon should match the ratzon of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Batel ritzon chamibnei ritzono, as the Mishnah Figuela says. And ultimately, both in the sphere of our relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the area of a relationship with our spouses, and with our children, obviously, is that we want what's important to us. Is the ratzon. What do you will? What do you desire? Sometimes the actions don't reflect what they really desire, and sometimes we make the mistake of getting caught up in the action and not. Sometimes the actions don't always reflect what they really desire. Again, husbands often make a mistake. They forget things. They're forgetful. We're forgetful beings, men. We're given a shopping list, okay, and everything's written down for us. It's you know, we go sent to the supermarket, right? Get all these things, and then there's the phone call. Okay, there's the phone call. By the way, I need also, you know, three more things on the list. So basically what's going to happen is that you'll remember those three things, but you're going to forget three others. This is like, it's exactly parallel to the things that are added to the list. You're going to subtract those other three things. It's basic math. and then you come, it's, I understand. It was written on the list. You know, isn't it important what I asked you to do? Of course it's important to me. But you didn't get them. But my ratzon was to get them. My desire was to do the right thing. Ultimately, we have to focus on that, on the desire to do the right thing over and above the action that sometimes don't live up to the ratzon.
Okay, two more points. Maybe we'll just leave it with one more point.
And this is really the most important thing that I actually wanted to share. And it's time for questions.
Rav Pinkus has a very nice sefer called Tiferes Avos, which he talks about the inyanim of Shalom Bayis.
And he talks about when we want to do something, we have a goal set out for ourselves.
So there's two parts to it. In order to accomplish that goal, it's what he calls a matara klalit,
a general goal, a place we want to reach. And then there's what's called the avodah pratit. There's the detailed action that needs to be done in order to get to that goal. And often we focus on the ultimate goal, and sometimes we forget about the specific avodah that needs to be done, or that is almost as important, if not more important.
So, for example, person, well, everybody wants to have shalom bayis in their house. Everybody wants to have a great marriage. Nobody doesn't want that as a goal for themselves. Similarly, a person may have the desire to become a talmid chacham. He wants to be someone who's learned, knows how to learn, knows a lot. But then there's the avodah prati. There's the actual work that needs to be done in order to accomplish that. And that means a person has to maximize his time that he has to learn. We don't have 24 hours in a day to learn. We have other obligations. But when we have those opportunities to learn, we need to maximize that time. We need to be focused. We need to have a game plan and what we're going to do during that time. And actually to do it. Actually to sit down and learn. Not just to talk about being a talmid chacham. So a person may say, okay, you know what, of course I want to be a talmid chacham, but it's not going to make a difference if I take Sundays off to watch the NBA finals or to watch 6 hours of football. It's not going to really make a difference in the larger picture of things. Of course I still want to be a talmid chacham, but but you have to understand that it may be true, in the larger picture may not make a difference, but there's still the etzem mitzvah of talmid Torah during that time that is being lost. Talmud Torah k'neged kula mitzvos that can be, I could have maximized, and I didn't. No, I'm not looking at you. Sorry. It's not. It may not make a difference in a larger picture, but there's a smaller picture here that it does make a difference. It makes a serious difference. So too in shalom bayis. There's a larger goal. I want to have shalom bayis. I want things to be smooth and pleasant in the house. And then there may be, sometimes where there's a disagreement, and maybe things that were said to each other that wasn't pleasant. And we forget that there is every action that we do is a mitzvah. In other words, every time I smile at my wife, or I say a nice word, or give a compliment. Those themselves is a kiyum of mitzvah of shalom bayis, of a mitzvah of the hakhlerei b'kamocha, which is also a mitzvah ben alamakom, by the way. So every individual act of kindness towards my spouse is in itself a mitzvah, and I shouldn't lose sight of those opportunities, which is constant. Whenever I'm with my wife, I have those opportunities to fulfill many, many mitzvahs. So if a person gets into an argument and says, no, but in the long run, we're going to make up at some point. We'll kiss and make up. But I'm going to get the last word in here, which we never do the men. You should know. You'll say, we forget that there is the right now, the shalom bayis of right now. That's very important not to lose out on. It may not affect the long-term relationship. It may not be that we're going to get divorced if I give this. But that's not the whole picture. There's also this is the here and now picture. There's the avodah pratit aspect that I should focus on right now. Should I let this slide or should I give it right back when I can just focus on the mitzvah of shalom bayis right now, and swallow it.
Ultimately, this is a very important concept,
and I'll just end this point, is that we are responsible more for our ma'asim, for our actions. I don't mean as opposed to ratzon. I mean as opposed to the results of our actions, the totza'ot. The well-known chakira and learning, sometimes the mitzvot, like the mitzvah, for example, the mitzvah of destroying chametz, the mitzvah of tashbisu, is it the mitzvah, the ma'isa mitzvah of destroying chametz, or is it the act, the result that we're interested in, the fact you have no chametz? And many, many different mitzvahs imply this chakira. Is it the ma'isa totza'ot, right? The action, the process, or the goal that's being reached. And ultimately in life,
Our responsibility is to go through the process, is to do the actions. Whether we'll be successful or not successful, that's not in our hands really. That's a Kodesh Baruch. What we're responsible for is the process. It's doing the right thing. Sometimes that right thing may be, or the goal, the ultimate result may seem impossible, but we still do it because that's what's demanded of us. Kodesh Baruch will take care of the result. But the action itself, that's in my hands. That's really the only thing that's in my hands. It's going through the process of doing the right thing. Whether I'll be successful in my parnasa, or even successful in my marriage or raising my kids, especially, it's the process that's important. When I daven, it's the process of davening that's important. Not that I'm oiske daven, as they say, that I have daven, that I can check off, that, okay, I went to Shabbos this morning. It's the process, it's the talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the Kavanah Tefillah. That's what's more important than the having been davened, having davened already. And ultimately, this is so important in idea, concept, in our interaction with our spouses, in our interaction with our children. The process of sitting down, taking the time, and really talking to the child. And being there for them is more important than, and that's what's only that's in our control, than whether the child will turn out the way we want them to, because that's not in our control.
Okay, my friends, just to quickly sum up, we spoke about five different spiritual perspectives that a person needs, I think needs to have in terms of their own relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they translate also into our interpersonal relationships with our spouses and our children. Number one, we spoke about that we are Bali Bechira, that our relationships with God is our relationship with finding our spouse is paradigmatic of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that our job is to create independent beings, to be independent and to make the right choices. Number two, we spoke about is the concept of Ol, that ultimately we're commanded beings, and first and foremost, we have to do what our responsibilities are, even if sometimes it's not natural to us, even if we don't necessarily understand it, this is our obligation towards God, towards our spouses, towards our children. We spoke about the idea of Shira Samidos, that the way God runs the world is that actually those areas that we need to fix is exactly the area of confrontation often between husband and wife and between parents and children. We spoke about the idea of Ratzon, that this is the most important area that we want to work on in ourselves. That's real, where real change happens. And ultimately, in our relationship with our spouses and our children, that's the area that we need to focus on more. The other things are also important. We also need to focus on them, but the main focus has to be to see the Ratzon of our spouses as being the most important. Sometimes their actions don't live up to the Ratzon. And with our children as well, that's the area we try and mechanech them more directly, that their Ratzon should be good. Even if we get them to do the right thing, is that where their Ratzon is? That's the area we need to focus on the most. And the last thing we spoke about is to the long-term goals versus the here and now actions, the avodah pratit, the necessary work that needs to be done here and now. And that's really the area that we have more control over. That's the main area that we have to focus on. And even if it may not affect the long-term goal that we all wish for, we have to see that the opportunities that God presents us with have to be needed to be met in the here and now. Questions?
That one's good. Okay, so another question. Maybe I will add, I think this goes supposed to go 12:15. So I will add the last point, number 6.
And that is Rabbeinu Bechaye and his Perush on Shmot. And really the last parshas, these parshas of Sefer Bamidbar, talking about all the nisyonos that Bnei Yisrael go through. And often we failed in many of these nisyonos. And by the way, Rav Soloveitchik, on these parshas of early from Bahalosa, through Balak, he gave some of these most drushes that he gave, I believe in it was the RCA convention, which took place around this time of year in June. Fantastic, amazing drushos, dealing with a lot of the juxtapositions of all these stories. Highly recommend that you avail yourselves of them, of those drushos. The Torah focuses on the nisyonot, specifically in the area of that our emuna and bitachon of in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are the most, again, when the Torah describes like the nisayon of the man and kibbutz etava and coming to this passing parsha without having water, without the mayim, which also happened with Shalach and happens again in this week's parsha, and then nisayon of sort of trusting in Moshe and all the promises. The Torah is trying to see how strong our bitachon on Kadosh Baruch Hu is. Kadosh Baruch Hu made certain promises, and how much do we really believe them? The Gur Aryeh comments, there's a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam in this past week's parsha about what was Moshe's sin. Actually, 14 different mahalchim you have in the Rishonim. But the most famous of the machlokes in Rashi and Rambam, the Rambam says Moshe's mistake was that he became angry. And he spoke about the Jewish people, calls them the rebellious ones. And Rashi spoke about simply that Moshe didn't follow the tzivoy of Hashem. Hashem said to speak to the rock, and he hit the rock. And that alteration of God's tzivoy was Moshe's mistake. So the Gur Aryeh, the Maharal, in his Perush on Rashi, he basically says there's really no machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. And he develops the idea that a person who does not believe and trust in Hashem will ultimately live in anger and disappointment. That the source that source of anger that we have in this world is when we lack real trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have the right bitachon. We don't think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in our corner. And so we're very anxious, and things don't go our way, we're angry. We forget about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, and that kol man da'avad l'tav avid. All those things develop because we lack the proper bitachon. In the Tzionish Yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, they don't call Musar Seder Musar, they call it Emunah. It's Seder and Emunah because it's ultimately the more we strengthen our Emunah, the better we can deal with life's challenges. So one of the very important things is many of us suffer certain frustrations when we're dating. And it's sometimes and often is a very trying process, trying to find that soulmate we spoke about at the beginning. And we think maybe if I would have said it this way, or maybe if I would have worn this dress, or maybe those things are important. But that's all begeder hishtadlus. It's all part of our efforts to hide the miracle, so to speak. But we have to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately the source of success. We spoke about it earlier, whether we're successful or we fail, it's ultimately not in our hands. We have to do hishtadlus, we have to act, we have to do what we have to do our research properly. Before you invest in something, you have to research it properly, and so too when you... Before you date somebody, it's a good idea to do research if you can. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you meet somebody, there's no opportunity to research. But If you're investing in a company, you would do your due diligence. Highly recommended that whatever effort we do in this world, we accompany that effort with a short tefillah. It's something that
Rav Kluger is a very very big Baal Mashpia in Beit Shemesh, the Rebbe of Yehuda Mishal, writes in his Svarim that a good idea is to accompany whatever we do, every shtans we do in this world, to accompany it with a short tefillah, saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm doing my shtavas, and I understand that ultimately you're the source of my success. So I'm dating this girl, and whether it be successful or not, it's up to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm working in this job. Whether my parnasa will be enough, it's up to you, Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm doing this shtavas, but I understand that ultimately, what's going to end up in my bank account is up to you. I am trying to raise my kids in the way that Torah wants me to. Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's really up to you. It's in your hands. I'm just doing the hishtablis. Now I want to do it. I want to do the right thing. I want to. Some things we spoke about earlier, focusing on spending the time. I have to do all those things. That's my obligation. But whether I'm going to be successful, there are unfortunately parents who did all the right things, and their kids did not follow the derech that the parents wanted them or hoped for them. But if we give recognition that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is ultimately the success or failure is ultimately a Kodesh Baruch Hu and not ours, then I think that goes a long way towards that. A lot of life is the recognition of that He is the source of it. As we said, that's the main nisyonos the Torah is trying to teach us, is exactly this point. To understand, to have bitachon a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So if that's the Torah's message, one of the main messages for us, and that's how we have to live our lives. We don't want to be like those who failed in these tests, as described in the Torah. And I'll end with a story, which I told at the end of the year. So some of the guys who just came back from yeshiva heard the story. And that is the story of the Shutafo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the partner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was a great Hasidic Rebbe, Rabbi Avraham Yeshua of Apt, the Apt Rebbe, who heard about this Jew, Rabbi Yankala, who was, owned a little motel in Poland, who people would go to him, and every request that they would ask for a bracha from him would become ultimately fulfilled. So the Apt Rebbe was a very special Rebbe in the fact that he got tremendous hana, that there's someone else who had a tremendous bet, even greater koach habracha than himself, which is not something so simple. To have a rabbi who is more excited that someone else is more successful than he himself is. So that's what the Apter was. He was an Oyev Yisrael. That's what how he's known. Oyev Yisrael. The fact that God's job is being done, it doesn't matter if it's me or him, as long as it's getting done. So he went to see what was special about this person that his koach habracha was being so successful. So he goes, he dresses down as a regular person, that he's unknown as a Rebbe. He goes to that pundak, that Frenchman, that motel, he stays there. The guy gives him a nice room, and he's observing him. And he doesn't see anything special in him. He sees that he rushes through his davening. He sees that when he sits down to eat, he really eats. He really fills his stomach. He sleeps through the night. He's not staying up until doing tikkun chatzos. He watches, observing him. He doesn't see what's so unique about this person that every time, what he does see is that people are constantly coming into this hotel. He has a little bar on the ground floor, people coming and he's serving them drinks. But he's very focused when he's working. He's very focused, and people ask him, "I need parnasa," and he gives Hashkadosh Baruch Hu parnasa. And then someone comes, "I don't have children," he says, "Hashkadosh Baruch Hu, you bring your children." And people say, "It's amazing. It works. Whatever he says, it works. It works. It's amazing." So finally, the Apter Rebbe reveals himself to him. "I'm the Apter Rebbe, and I demand that you tell me what's going on here. Why is everything you say come true?" So he said, the Rebbe demands of me, "I'll tell you, I'm a simple Jew. I rented this place a number of years ago. I was renting this place, and we could not make ends meet. People would come, serve drinks. They would get drunk. They would never pay their bill. And we struggled. My wife says, you have to take an apartment. We can't continue like this. We don't have enough food to put on the table. So my wife was right. I had to take an apartment. Somewhere where you can invest, turn this place, make it into a classroom, join people who actually would come here who can pay the bills. And then I was walking to the main city to find someone who would be interested in investing. I was thinking, who's going to invest here? Who's going to do this? I was walking through the forest, and I felt so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that point. I turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I said, what better partner than you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What better partner than you? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I ask you to be a partner with me. I work as hard as I can. I will be the best worker possible. And I will share the profits 50-50. Whatever 50% of what I make, I'll keep for me and my family, and the other 50% I'll give to you. How do I give it to you? I'll give it to tzedakah, to Shechinah rest amongst the poor people, I'll give it to the poor. 50-50. I know I'm not deserving of it. I'm not deserving of it, but you're the best partner that can possibly be. Be a partner with me. And sure enough, that's what happened. And people came, and I worked hard, and I make sure to eat well, to sleep well, and focus whenever to tend to people that come, and I'm a good worker, I'm a loyal worker for my partner. And Baruch Hashem, all of a sudden the business took off. People constantly coming in, and I give them brachos. The Kodesh Baruch is my partner, so the brachos are our control. My friends, we have a partner. Each and every one of us has a partner, and that partner is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And whatever we do in life, when we're searching for our spouse, we say, Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're my partner, help me. And when we're married and we want to have Shalom Bayis, Kodesh Baruch Hu has to be our partner. Husband, wife, Kodesh Baruch Hu, part of that home. He's our partner. Shechina rests in such a home. And ultimately with our children as well. Understand that the success is His. We do our shtadlus, keeping these 6 points in mind. We should be blessed. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, my neck.
Pretty big. He's big.
Yeah, no, I didn't notice it.
Funny windows. They're good. Two windows.
Sure.